Pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day and for the opportunity to worship together. Lord, even though we're not in person, Lord, you still give us the opportunity to worship in spirit and truth. And Father, that is the most important thing. As Jesus said to the woman in Samaria at the well, that there would be a day where it doesn't matter where we worship, whether in Jerusalem or on the mountain in Samaria, but God, we can worship in spirit and truth. And today we have that opportunity to worship with you, even though we're not at church, even though we may be at home or we may be somewhere else, at someone else's home this morning, just watching on the TV, that God, we can worship you and we can call on your name, and God, you can still work and move in our lives despite us not being in a certain place at a certain time. Jesus, as we meet together this morning, as we start a new series, as we kind of get started off on what we are calling a new year, God, I pray that you would be with each and every single one of us. God, that you would touch our hearts and lives, that you would speak, that you would work and move, that we would not close ourselves off to you in any way, but God, we would truly open ourselves up to you more today than perhaps we've ever done in our entire life. Father, we want to say that we love you this morning, and we just want to thank you for everything. And we pray for all the people who are sick, who are experiencing symptoms, who've just been out lately. God, we just pray that you would be with them, but more importantly, that you would be with us all spiritually. We love you, we thank you, and we ask all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is good to see you this morning. Just for a few announcements we want to cover. I know that we're not in person today, so it kind of feels weird doing these announcements, but hopefully next Sunday we will be in person. Just kind of letting you know, it's kind of a coin toss right now as to whether or not we'll be in person next Sunday, because we're waiting for test results to come back for half of our staff, and we're also waiting for a lot of results to come back for people in our church who are volunteers. And so according to whether or not those ministries can be run next Sunday will greatly determine whether or not we'll be in person. So we will let you know. Please stay on social media. Please keep in touch with your Sunday school classes and your small groups. But if you're a parent, please keep in mind that if we are in person next week or the following week, that you need to come a little bit earlier as you're dropping your kids off, because we have our check-in system that's up and running now. So it takes a little more time to drop your kids off and check them in than what it has in the past. Also, for our volunteers, if you're volunteering for our ministry, especially children's ministry, any other ministry, we're asking you guys to show up 20 minutes prior to whatever time your ministry starts, so that you can be there earlier when parents are dropping off kids and other things, that you can be there and helping that ministry run smoothly so that other volunteers can get to the places they need to be who have children. So we do want to welcome you, and we're so grateful to be here today. Thank you for Haley and Adam for coming and leading worship. They are actually two of our people who have symptoms, and so we're hoping and praying that they're going to be okay, but we're just being safe just in case. But we're talking about our calling as Christians, and as you're tuning in this morning, that is something that you greatly need to understand and realize in your life, that there is a calling that has been placed on your life. And so many Christians feel we neglect that because we just think, oh, well, if you're not a pastor or a missionary or youth pastor or worship leader, then there's not a calling. If you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, if you claim to have faith in him, there is a calling that is on your life that you very much need to understand and realize that Jesus has called all of us to step away from what our life was to step into what our life should be. And sometimes we just need to take a spiritual inventory. You know, when you look at businesses, businesses take yearly inventories with supplies. Stores do it with merchandise. You know, we do it weekly with groceries as to whether or not we need to go to the grocery store. Sometimes we take inventory with our finances to see whether or not we can afford something or whether or not we're going to be able to buy something later on. And sometimes in our life, we need to take a spiritual inventory. And I'm challenging you to do that today. I'm challenging you to be very open and not just assume that you're okay, not just assume that you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, because I know in my life many times, anytime I just assume that I'm doing something right, or I assume that I have something licked and I got it the way that I want it, chances are I'm not doing everything as good as I could or as good as I should be doing. And in our relationship with God, it's no different. We need to take a spiritual inventory, and we should do this regularly, but I'm calling you, I'm challenging you to do that now, especially as this year is beginning and we're starting this new series, because there is a calling on your life to go deeper in your relationship with God. There's a calling in your life to grow in your relationship with Him. And it's not just something that, you know, you're going to do this for a certain amount of time, or you get saved and you get forgiven of sins and then it's done, or you grow for a few years and you feel like you've got this whip. From the time that you get saved until the time that you draw your final breath, you are going to be experiencing different temptations, different situations and circumstances in life, different things that God is calling you to. There are going to be different people who come in and out of your life that God is calling you to minister to. And so during our life, as long as we are living and breathing and existing in this world, God is calling us to grow deeper and deeper and deeper with Him. And for the oldest person who's listening today, if you could hear them, I guarantee you they would amen this, that God is still teaching them and helping them grow and mature in life and dealing with different situations and circumstances, because the battles change as we get older. The battles change as we enter in different stages of life. The battles change with age. And so what you're struggling with today is not going to be what you're struggling with 10 years from now. And what you're struggling with 10 years from now isn't going to be the same as what you're struggling with 20, 30, 50 years from now. And so there's a calling on our life to go deeper, to invest in this relationship with God, and to think about what it means to have a relationship with God. I mean, the greatest, most powerful, amazing being in existence wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a deeper relationship with you. But the problem is that we as people, we're the ones who decides how deep that relationship can actually go or be. You know, you are sitting there this morning and you're tuning in, you're listening, and you are the deciding factor of how much you will grow in your relationship with God. Nobody else will determine that for you. No situation, no circumstance is going to determine that for you. But if you want to go deeper with God, He is available to you, but it is your choice that you have to make. And there's two parts of this relationship that you have to allow happen or be devoted to. The first one is that you have to be devoted to knowing God more and going deeper with Him. You have to want that for yourself in your life. And then the second part is that you have to be willing to let God go deeper in you. You have to be willing to allow God to come inside of your life to move and to change things and to do things differently and to shake things up sometimes. You have to be willing to allow that to happen. And if you're not willing to do both of those things, then you're not going to grow with Him. Because in essence, God already wants to, and He's already done everything to make it possible, but you have to choose whether or not you're going to allow it to happen in your life, whether or not you're going to devote your life to desiring to grow closer with God and desiring to allow God to come inside and grow in you. And the big thing is you have to be willing to trust God to do that. You know, most people aren't willing to trust God. You know, when I think about my relationship with my wife, Hannah, you know, I pick on her a lot. You guys have heard me say a lot of things about and joke about our relationship and her a lot. And this morning, I want to say something good about her this morning. You know, I completely and absolutely trust Hannah with everything. There's nothing in our life that I don't trust her to do. If I were to become a vegetable today, I completely trust her to handle the finances, to take care of our kids, to be faithful to our family, to provide, to be everything that she needs to be to make sure that everything that we have invested in and taking care of, even being a part of the ministry of this church, I completely trust her to do that. And because of that trust, I feel like that's one of the reasons why we have such a great relationship, is because I know that I can trust her with anything. And because of that, I'm willing to allow her to be involved and come in and be a part of anything, to be a part of me, to be a part of our life, to be a part of different areas. And I challenge you in your relationship with God to step out on faith and trust God and allow Him to come into your life. Don't be afraid of what He may change. Don't be afraid of what may come to an end and what may begin. Don't be afraid that God may come in and turn your life absolutely upside down, because the truth is, if we trust God and we allow Him to come into our life, chances are it's going to be much better than we ever thought or realized that it could be. But we have to have faith in order to do that. And you have to be brave. Like, it takes a lot of courage for you to open up your life, to open up your heart, and to let God come in and completely change and rearrange what's going on. Most people are not willing to do that, and that's why most people aren't growing in their relationship with Christ, and they aren't very strong in their belief and their faith in Christ. I want to read a passage to you this morning. This is from John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. This is going to be our focus passage. We're going to read this every week as long as this series lasts. But this is Jesus, and He's talking about the time for Him to go and to be the sacrifice for our sins and to be with the Father. And I want to ask you, if you're at home, to stand with me. John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. It will be on the screen in your homes. But stand with me. And yes, I'm going to wait again. I'm going to ask it again, because I guarantee you most of you are not standing right now. But I'm asking you to, hey, let's step out here. Let's participate this morning. Let's make the best of today as we can. So if you're at home, even if you're still in your pajamas, stand up and let's read God's word together. Let's devote ourselves to Him. Let's open our hearts up to Him and allow Him to work and move in our lives. So let's read together. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into His glory. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, but those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. And anyone who wants to serve Me must follow Me, because My servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves Me." And so there's a few things I want you to notice from this passage. Number one, it talks about death. I want you to understand in your life, whether you're a new Christian or whether you're an old Christian, God constantly calls us to die. All right? When you got saved, there were some things that you were supposed to put to death in that moment whenever you gave your heart to Christ. And as you grow with Him, there will constantly be things in your life that God is calling you to put to death. Because as long as you keep that kernel of corn, and as long as you hang on to it, it will be alone, and it's never going to do anything. But when you put it in the ground and it dies, that's when it produces a harvest. That's when it produces many more kernels. And what Jesus is saying, that as people, if you and I want to follow Him, we have to be with Him where He is. We have to follow Him, to serve Him, follow His example. But we have to put things in our life to death in order to see fruit produced for our God. And make no mistake about it, you're claiming to have faith in Jesus Christ this morning, a God who has called you to minister to other people and create more disciples and produce a harvest much greater than just yourself. And because of that, there's going to constantly be things in your life that you're going to have to put to death in order to see new life brought forth. And we're going to talk some more about that specific thing later on in our series. But I just want to bring some points to you today that are talking about growing deeper in your relationship with the Lord. Some of these are going to be very monotonous. You have heard these things 1,000 times in your life. I'm going to say them again, because sometimes we just need to be reminded of them. We are leaking vessels, and many times we just need to be refilled, because things that simply should be there in us sometimes just trickle out over time. And so the first point I want to bring you to today is that God has called you to prayer. We cannot stress this enough. This sounds so simple. Many of you are at home sitting here right now. It's like, well, duh, yeah, obviously we're supposed to pray. I really hope and want to emphasize the importance of prayer in your life, not just for blessings before a meal, not just at night before you go to bed, but legitimately seeking God in prayer, not just for things that you want, not just to bless your food, not just to protect you physically, but literally seeking God constantly because you want to be in a relationship with Him. And when you talk about prayer, you have to understand this morning that it takes time. And many of you who are listening this morning know that time is precious and you only have so much of it. And because of that lack of time in our lives that we have, and we would love to be spending time on other things, but we have to spend time on this in order to get this done, there's going to be things in your life that you have to put to death in order to carve out some time for legitimate prayer. And you have to understand that today. But I want to read a passage to you to just kind of help us understand where we're going and the calling that God has placed on all of Christians in this world to pray. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul writes and says, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ." So God's will for people who belong to Christ, one of the things in there is to never stop praying. And if we were honest with one another, I think we would be very willing to admit that there are times where we do pray, but there are many more times, perhaps most of the time, where we never even think about God. And you know in your life, the things that you care about are the things that are on your mind. The people, the relationships that you care about and you love and you want to invest in are the people that you're constantly wanting to communicate with. There are people in your life right now that you love and you want to be with. And so even if you can't be with them during the day, you're constantly texting them or sending them message or chatting with them, or you're calling them, or you're making the opportunity and you're making the time in order to communicate with them because you want to be with them. Jesus Christ told his disciples, "If you want to be mine, you must be where I am. You must follow me. You must be with me. You must serve me. You must die so that new life can be brought forth." And you are called today to pray. And there's nothing else in this world that seems, now I want you to follow me because this is going to sound really bad at first, but hopefully you understand what I'm saying. As a young Christian, or even as someone who has not devoted their life to prayer yet, there's not going to be anything else in this world that seems so useless and unproductive than prayer. For me as a person, one of the most difficult things I've had in my relationship with the Lord is stopping and taking the time to pray because I'm a doer. I would rather go do it, get it done, put my hands in on it, be busy. It's one of those things that I have a really hard time to just stop and pray. I always have. But God has called us to pray. And as a young Christian, as someone who's young in their faith, it's going to be really difficult for you to realize that it is more important for you to just stop what you're doing, to stop trying, to stop putting so much effort into making your life work or doing what it is that you feel like you want to do for the rest of your life or invest in this relationship or do this, but to just stop trying so hard and to pray and communicate with God and allow Him to do the work in your life, to allow Him to affect the situations, the relationships, the circumstances, and have faith to know that He wants to influence those things in your life. To have faith to know that He wants to grow and move in your life and reveal Himself to you. But guys, if you don't take the time to just stop and pray and take your hands off of something and ask God to do it, you're robbing yourself from the ability to see God working and moving in your life. And Satan wants you to think that prayer is a waste of time. Your greatest enemy, the one that is trying to destroy not only your physical life, but your very soul, wants you to believe that prayer is a waste of time. He wants you to fill your life with busy things so that you don't have time to get on your hands and knees and seek God in prayer and ask for His wisdom and His counsel and His blessing and His effect in every aspect of your everyday life. Nothing is going to conquer the powers of hell other than prayer in your life. You know, as Christians, we're called to follow the example of Christ, and guess what was a daily habit of Jesus? It was prayer. One of the most common things that you see Him doing is trying to get away from everybody so that He could go pray and have a relationship with His Father. And if Jesus, who was God in the flesh, took the time to go and be away and pray to God the Father, don't you think it's pretty important that we should be doing the same? Because we're nothing compared to Jesus. But yet he was willing to take time away from his life and relationships and ministry and people to go and pray with the Father and receive power and receive the Spirit from him through that prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul writes, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Matthew 26, 41, Jesus said, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. There's a lot of us here this morning who are listening in. We want to serve God. We want to live for him. We want to abstain from sin and all the things we know we shouldn't be doing. But our body is weak. This is why we should pray constantly. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoice in confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. There's thousands of passages of Scripture that talk about prayer, many stories in the Bible that specifically revolve around the importance of prayer. And I want to tell you this morning, if you have not given yourself to prayer, you are robbing yourself of spiritual victories. And you're robbing yourself of seeing God work and move in your life. You're robbing yourself of seeing miracles. You're robbing yourself of seeing spiritual growth. And you're robbing God of his right to be a part of your everyday life. Prayer will change your life. It will change your relationship with God, and you cannot be afraid to let it change you. Don't be afraid to put something in your life to death so that prayer can grow a harvest of good things in your life. You are going to have to carve out time. You're going to have to carve out days. You're going to have to carve out moments in your life where you can spend it specifically on prayer in order to see God do more than what he's been doing in your life. And I think if we were all honest with ourselves this morning, we would say, I want to see God work in my life more. I want God to change me in this area more. I want God to do this. I want to see God do this in our church more. You have to be willing to pray and call on the name of Jesus Christ to make these changes and do these things in our life that we desperately want. But we have to be willing to pray in order to do it. Point number two, God has called you to know his word. Again, very cliche. You've probably heard it 1,000 times, but I can't say it enough. As Christians, we're called to follow Christ. Christ, one of the primary themes in his life was not only prayer, but it was also consistently quoting scriptures in his ministry as he ministered to the people of Israel. When he was tempted, he quoted scriptures. When he was teaching, he quoted scripture. In fact, if you read the New Testament and you study it, almost half of the New Testament is quoting Old Testament scripture as they are ministering to these people. And so what you see is footnotes at the bottom of all the pages you're reading that's referring you back to passages of the Old Testament of why this is written in this moment in time. In fact, when you look, there's a graph that Pastor Timmy should be putting on the screen for you right now. It's estimated that there's some at least 65,000 times that Scripture is cross-referenced from one to another, if not more than 65,000 times. And when you see this graph, this is actually a computer-generated image of the books of the Bible. And you can't see the names of the books, but all the little lines that you see going down through there are different verses of Scripture, and it's drawing lines connecting it back and forth of the different verses that it's connected to and how it connects back to it. 65,000 times. One guy was talking about how basically God hyperlinked the Bible. And if you're younger, you know what hyperlink means. You just click on the hyperlink and it takes you to the web page and gives you the information that you need, or it takes you to the image, or it takes you to whatever the hyperlink is leading you to. But each passage of Scripture is hyperlinked to another passage of Scripture because the Bible is so intertwined and interconnected. And Jesus understood how important it was to know God's Word. People who know God's Word, they know God. And they talk about it. And if you find yourself being at church and being intimidated or being around other people who know God's Word and not necessarily knowing as well, you'll find yourself intimidated. But people who know God's Word talk about it. And Jesus knew God's Word and he devoted his life to it. And most of Jesus' ministry was spent quoting Old Testament scripture, and that's why you see so much of it appearing in the New Testament, because we're reading of all the times that Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. He knew it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right." So God's scripture, it's inspired by Him. It's useful to teach us what is true and what is right, and it corrects us when we're wrong. And one of the reasons why a lot of people don't like to read scripture is because it takes time, and we have to carve out time. We have to put up things in our life. We have to put to death things in our life in order to make time for prayer. And now we have to put something else to death in life so we can make time to read scripture to know it, which we don't like to hear. But it also shows us when we're doing wrong, and I don't think there's anything more that people in America hate than being told that they're wrong about something. None of us hate to find out, number one, to find out that we are doing something wrong, but we especially hate it when other people tell us we're doing wrong or it's revealed to us that we've been doing wrong. And so when God's Word does that, we want to stay away from it because we don't want to change. But guys, I want to tell you, you have a calling on your life to read God's Word, to know it, and to understand it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." And so, to understand that God's word is alive and powerful, it's not just something that's dead that we're reading on paper that we can just kind of apply to our life loosely. No, it is alive. It is constantly changing. It is just as relevant today as it was 1,000 years ago, and it will be just as relevant 1,000 years from now as it is today. It's alive. It is constantly, constantly applicable to everything that we're experiencing in life, in every situation, every circumstance, whether it's personal issues, whether it's morals, whether it's politics, whether it's whatever. It is constantly applicable and always will be. And it cuts between joint and marrow, and it exposes who we are. And in your life, there should be a desire for you to expose who you truly are. Because the goal should be to grow and be more and more like Jesus Christ. And as we read God's Word and God exposes who we truly are and He exposes our thoughts, it helps us to become more like Jesus Christ, because it means, hey, there's some things in my life that I need to put to death because this isn't like Jesus. And I need to be more like Jesus, so this needs to be put to death in me. And God, help me to do that so I can be more like Him. But it also exposes and reveals truth in other people. And there are relationships that you're involved in, friendships, work, careers that you are involved in that God's Word is going to expose and reveal to you through His Word that you need to make sure and be ready that you need to be moving on from so that you can be more like Christ. God's Word not only shows us who God is, but it also shows us who we should be. And it reveals and it exposes and it convicts and it teaches what we should be moving towards and what we should be moving away from. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Guys, God's Word directs us on the path that we should be traveling, and it directs our steps on the way that we should be walking. And God, you're called to know God. You're called to walk His path. You need to know His Word so that you can know Him and know your path. Know where you're going in your life. You know, I constantly think about this. We don't see this as much anymore because we have GPSs and things now, and most people are kind of getting used to this. But I remember being younger and riding in the car before technology. And I remember there are very few times this happened, but yes, there were times where my dad got lost. You know, it used to be a joke that the husband was so stubborn and would refuse to admit, number one, admit that he was lost, but even greater, he refused to stop and ask for directions. Don't be that person, okay? Be the person who's willing to humble themselves before their God, to read His Word, to find out what it is that He wants from us, who He wants us to be, so that we can acknowledge the things that are wrong in our life and change them so that we can be on track with Him. There's nothing more frustrating than someone who's obviously lost, and to make it even worse, that they obviously refuse to stop and admit it and ask for directions. Don't be that person. Be the person who humbles themselves before their God and asks God to come into their lives and help them to change and grow deeper and deeper and deeper with Him. Point number three, God has called you to spiritual health. Guys, there's a calling on your life to grow. And guess what? In order to grow, you got to be healthy in order to grow. You know, my wife, she works in as a pediatrician, and she works out at the doctor's office, and one of the biggest things that they're constantly monitoring is growth in infants. And if an infant is not growing the way it should be, if it's not gaining weight, if it's not growing, if it's not doing certain things, they know immediately to begin looking for other stuff, that there are other issues at hand that need to be addressed. In order to grow, you have to be healthy, and God has called you to spiritual health so that you can grow with Him. Guys, you cannot just be satisfied with forgiveness. Now, I know that most people who begin their journey with Christ begin because there's guilt in their life and there's sin in their life, and they want to be forgiven for it. And in all honesty, we selfishly want eternal life. But the bigger picture is that Jesus Christ willingly, freely gives us that forgiveness and willingly, freely wants to give us eternal life. But there is a calling, a deeper calling for us to grow with Him, to be healthy in our relationship. Guys, our life should not just revolve around trying not to sin. Our relationship with God is so much bigger than you and I just trying not to sin. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, Peter writes and he says, "You already know these things, dear friends, so be on your guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen." Guys, you follow a Lord and Savior today who has called you away from sin. He doesn't want you to sin, but you don't have the power and ability not to sin. You have to grow in your relationship with Him. You have to seek spiritual health in prayer, reading of Scripture, and a lot of other things in order to get to the spiritual health so that He can help you not sin. Prayer, Scripture reading, turning from sin, being a part of the body of Christ or being a part of the church, accountability, having spiritual conversations, finding friends who are willing to do these things with you, and leaving the people behind who are not willing to do those things with you. All of this is just part of the package of what God has called you to. You are called to be the whole package. You are called not only not to sin, but to put yourself to death, not only once, but multiple times in your life, so that you can carve out time for prayer, you can carve out time for Scripture reading, carve out time for being a part of the body of Christ, carve out time for having spiritual conversations with other people, carve out time for having friends to do all these things with, for building relationships with, and putting to death some of the relationships you already have, because not everybody is going to be willing to take this journey with you. Guys, this morning you have a calling on your life to be spiritually healthy. The whole package is the only choice that you have. You know, so many people say, a lot of people just want the bare minimum. Well, the problem for Christians is that the bare minimum is the whole package. You don't just get forgiveness of sin and then you get eternal life. You get forgiveness of sin, but then God calls you to grow. God calls you to read, God calls you to pray, God calls you to spiritual health, God calls you to be a part of the church, God calls you to put to death things in your life so that you can produce a harvest. You see, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the whole package is the bare minimum. And we've done a really bad job of communicating that to people throughout centuries now. It's not just about asking God for forgiveness, but it's about pursuing God with all that you are and making your whole life about serving Him. And what's amazing is that if we cling to our life, Jesus said, we'll lose it. But if we give it up for Him, then we find it and we get to keep it for all eternity. And so the more and more and more you put yourself to death for things of this world, the more and more and more you realize that you live better and you grow
better, and you have a better relationship with God, and you have a better look on life, and you have better outcomes in so many areas of life. Point number four, God has called you to use your spiritual gifts. Every single one of you who are listening in this morning, everybody who's going to listen in later on, God has given you a spiritual gift, whether you know it or not. Some of you have been using those gifts, some of you have not been using those gifts, and some of you have no idea that you ever had a spiritual gift. But I promise you this morning, you have spiritual gifts. Some of you may only have one, some of you may have multiple ones, some of you may feel like your spiritual gift is very important, and some of you may feel like what God has given you is not very important at all. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, Paul writes about spiritual gifts. And I think this is super important for us to understand and get a grip on this morning. But Paul says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So why are spiritual gifts given? So that we can help each other. Why do you get married? Because you need a helpmate so that both of you can help each other. Why do you have friends? So that you can help each other. Why do you have spiritual gifts? So you can help each other inside the body of Christ. Verse 8. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. There's a spiritual gift. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge, a gift. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another person the power to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, and still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Each and every one of you have been given a gift, whether you have realized it now, but know right now from this moment forward that you have at least one spiritual gift, if not multiple gifts that God has given you. And I want to challenge you this morning never to compare yourself to anyone else. One of the greatest tools that Satan uses against us is the ability to see and compare. We do it all the time in our life. We do it with clothing, with house, with money, with jobs, with family, with whatever. Okay, we love to just look and compare stuff with one another. And as spiritually as you follow Jesus Christ, we should be so careful never to look at someone else or something else and compare ourselves to what's going on over there. Because God has given you a specific gift or gifts that He has called you to use according to the calling on your life. And what we've been talking about so far through prayer and scripture reading and spiritual health and growth with God will help you determine what those gifts are and how you are supposed to use them. And to some people, and I'm saying this morning, I'll be openly and vulnerable with you. You know, I look at some people who are pastors of these extremely large churches, and you hear about them having thousands of salvations and thousands of baptisms every year, and they have what seems to be all this success. And sometimes I wonder, like, God, are we doing the right thing? Should we be having this too? You know, it's really easy for us to look across the road or look on the other side of the fence and say, God, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we seeing that? But it is a constant reminder in my life that we cannot look at anyone else or anything else, but we have to look to God is what He's calling us to. God is calling you to something. God is calling you. He has given you gifts. There are people in this world that you have been specifically called to minister to. And no one else in the world will ever be able to minister to them and reach them like you will be able to. And so the choice that you have as to whether or not you're going to put something in your life to death so that you can have a harvest of greater produce coming later is a choice that you have to make. And you have to determine whether or not you're going to use your spiritual gifts that God has given you in order to see that harvest come to fruition. Satan is going to try to make you think that your gift or your calling is inferior, insignificant, and it doesn't even compare to anyone else, and it's not important at all. But that is a lie from your enemy. It is one of the greatest lies that he has sold. It's one of the greatest lies that he has convinced so many people, especially in America, that you might as well not even try because it doesn't even compare to what someone else is doing. And I want to challenge you this morning. I want to remind you, and I want to give you a message from the Lord that you cannot compare yourself to anyone else because God has called you. God has given you a gift. God has people that he has lined up for you to minister to. And if you don't minister to them, it's not because your gift was inferior or insignificant. It's because you chose not to use it. And like everything else in life, all these people who are ministering to thousands of people and influencing thousands of people, and you have all these salvation, all these baptisms, those people will be held to a much higher standard. It says in Scripture that pastors, those who are called to teach, will be held to a much higher standard than everyone else. So with great power, with great authority, comes great responsibility. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Don't compare yourself to a pastor. Don't compare yourself to a missionary. Don't compare yourself to another church member or anyone else for that matter. You do what God has called you to do. You use the gift that he has called you to use. And the only one that you have to stand accountable to one day is you will stand before Jesus Christ and you will answer as to whether or not you did what he's called you to do in your life. And the only way you're supposed to know, you're going to be able to know if you obeyed that calling, if you use your gift, is if you spend your time in prayer, if you put something to death in your life so that you can pray, and you put something to death in your life so that you can read your Bible, and you put other things to death in your life that's going to help you be spiritually healthy, so that you can begin using the callings that God's put on your life. The calling that God has put on your life is the most important thing that you can accomplish, and the spiritual gift that he has bestowed on you is the most important thing that you can develop and cultivate in your life. Nothing else will ever compare. If you're listening in this morning and you even halfway care about what is being said, and if you halfway care about God's word, and if you halfway care about your relationship with him, you will look for things in your life that you can put to death so that other things can come to life through the Spirit of God and produce a harvest and do all these things that we've been talking about. And it's not only about producing a harvest in your personal life, but it's about producing a harvest in other people so that they can in turn produce a harvest and reach more and more and more people. See, we all have the same calling. We all have the same calling to live for Jesus Christ, to witness and be a minister for him, and to produce a harvest greater than ourselves. We are all called to put ourselves to death. And the question is whether or not you're doing that. So as you're listening today, living for Christ is not just about not sinning. It's not just about avoiding evil things, but it's the whole package. It's prayer, scripture reading, having spiritual conversations, being a part of the church, witnessing and ministering to other people, knowing who God is, knowing your spiritual gifts, using them, and constantly, daily, putting to death things in your life so that you can grow closer and closer and closer to Christ. The question is whether or not you're going to be willing to do it. Because like I said at the beginning of the sermon today, God wants to be a part of your life. He wants to grow deeper in his relationship with you, and he's done everything in the world to make sure that that can happen. But the choice is yours as to whether or not you want to be closer to God and whether or not you're going to allow God inside to grow closer with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this day, for this opportunity we have to read your word and to pray. And God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and lives. Help us not to be satisfied with the status quo or the bare minimum. God, help us not to compare ourselves to other people and say, oh, well, I'm doing as good as so-and-so, or I'm doing better than so-and-so. God, I pray, I cry out to you today that you would put a conviction on all of our hearts and lives, that we would just ache, that our bodies, our souls, our spirits would ache until we put to death all the things that need to be put to death so that we can bring to life the fruit and the produce and the harvest that you have called us to take place in our life. Lord, that you can help us to minister and be a witness to the people around us in this world. God, help us all to rely on you, to depend on you, to grow closer with you, and to cry out to you so that we can serve you better and better and better every single day. We love you, and we ask this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. We hope you have a great week. Hope to see you Sunday.